We've been in a sermon series walking through the book of Ephesians. We've gotten through about the first three chapters. And you might notice I'm taking a break from Ephesians this morning. I'm going to be gone next week. Chapter 4 is kind of a lot there, so I'm going to tackle that when I get back. But what Ephesians has been setting up is this. The first three chapters are very theological. It lays out what the foundation of the church is, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then chapter 4 starts building on that foundation, what the church looks like practically, what's it made up as, how does it function. And so as I leave on a trip, I want to leave you with this text today, reminding you of what foundation the church is built upon. In our cultural moment right now, we look around and we see that many churches are on the decline. And so we can be left here in this cultural moment, looking around, seeing many churches on the decline. We can think, so how can we trust that our church will grow? How can we trust that Jesus will build his church here? And I want to encourage you today that Jesus is indeed faithful to this. Even in a hard cultural moment, he continues to build his church. So even though many churches are on the decline, yet we see many searching for life in our world, in our culture. You can look around and you can see many people trying desperately to find life somewhere. For those searching for a way out, for those searching for life, there is indeed a way out. The Greek word ecclesia, it refers to an assembly of people, namely the church. When Jesus says, I will build my church, that's the word used. And this word comes from the verb ekleo, call out from. So it's a group of people, and they are called out from something. When I was a senior in high school, I served on a Sunday school committee board, and it was about Christmas time, and I remember having a meeting in the month of December. The meeting got continually heated, the meeting got continually bitter, the meeting got continually filled with gossip and backbiting, and the meeting got continually filled with anger directed towards other people in that room. And me as a high schooler, I was quite foreign to this happening. It was a new experience for me to experience this in a church meeting. Yeah, it was, and it wasn't because the people were necessarily bad, but it was just a toxic situation, lots of backbiting going on, lots of bitterness, lots of anger. And I sensed the evil going on there, and the difficulty going on there, and the strife going on there. What happened was it was in the pastor's office. Dad was pastor, and he came in, and he saw what was going on, and he looked at me and said, Tim, could you come to the sanctuary and help me with this? We were getting ready for a Christmas program. He said, Tim, why don't you come with me? And the head lady said, we have things to do. He cannot go with you. To which my dad gently said, this is my son, and he's coming with me. And out I came, out of a difficult situation, a difficult meeting. See, I was truly called out from that meeting, and that had authority because my dad calmly said, this is my son, he's coming with me. This is no low view of the church, brothers and sisters. Don't you know that before you were in Christ Jesus, you came from the kingdom of darkness and the dominion of darkness, from Satan's rule? And even though the culture tries to deny that there is such a thing, that there is such evil, evil is persistent and prevalent in our world. There's brokenness, there's hurt, there's strife, there's war, there's murder, there's hatred, there's all of these things. Evil is absolutely a thing, and it's toxic. And as Christians, we are called out from it. Even though if we were on the road to death and destruction, Because life apart from Jesus Christ is an eternity in hell separated from him. Those who have placed their faith in him are called out from that. And so us gathered here as a church are people, an assembly people, called out from that. Because the Lord Jesus says, this is my son, this is my daughter, come with me. Goodbye, Satan. They are mine now. And so we are here this morning. To be the church of Jesus Christ is to be called out of a toxic world, a toxic kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, whom Satan is in charge of. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so as the church, we are a group of people called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And you know what we get to do? We get to proclaim these excellencies to those in the community, to each other, to our families and our friends and our communities. That's what the church is for. And that's what Jesus builds the church upon, is this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ. So Jesus' plan for the church is to call people to himself through the gospel message. So we should embrace his plan of salvation and trust in it this morning. We should embrace it with everything that we are. Trust him with everything that we are. And trust him knowing that he can indeed build his church. So as followers of Jesus Christ called out from darkness this morning, if you are in that place, if you have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, there's three things for you this morning. I encourage you to embrace Jesus Christ, embrace the church, and embrace the gospel. Embracing Jesus Christ, this is an important one, because after all, he is the builder of the church. And right away, we see, and we've seen it in the book of Ephesians 2, that Jesus Christ has a clear identity, he has a clear mission. This cannot be changed by people's opinions of him, what people think of him, how people feel about him, what people think about him. This simply cannot be changed. His true identity cannot be compromised. So we see here in our text, Jesus comes to Caesar of Philippi, and he asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus' favorite title for himself was the Son of Man. See, in the beginning, people were given dominion over the world. They messed that up. They sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And so the dominion was taken away from people because they could not have that throne. They could not rule and reign with God in their sinful state. And so the Old Testament draws out. Jesus is predicted, prophesied about. And then he is the Son of Man. He is the man who comes to rule and reign where the human beings could not. And so Son of Man, he's already saying, here's what I am. He's dropping the hint here. And the disciples say, oh, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So some people say, Jesus, you're just a prophet. Other people say, oh, these Old Testament prophecies that point to Elijah coming first, you must be Elijah. And brothers and sisters, in our world and culture, there is many voices saying who Jesus is. If he were to come today and say, who do people say that I am? People might say something like this. They might say, oh, he's a good teacher, he's a good man. Wasn't really God, but there's some useful things from the Gospels that we can apply to our lives. And many other answers as well. Could be that he's just a prophet. Many religions, such as Islam, believe that Jesus, you know, existed, but it was only a prophet, he wasn't God. Jesus could be this harsh ruler that has no love. That can be who some people say Jesus is. But Jesus says, okay, well, people say that, but who do you say I am? And something miraculous happens. Even though many people get his identity and his mission wrong, Peter speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God. Christ means anointed one. Jesus was anointed and prepared for a specific task. Because some are in the kingdom of darkness because of their sin and stuck in that, stuck on the road to destruction, stuck on the road to sin, Jesus came for a specific purpose to set those people free through his sacrifice by shedding his blood, so that those placing their faith and trust in him are raised again to life. He was anointed for the very purpose to come and die a death which we could not die, pay a sacrifice which we couldn't pay. So you actually can't get your way to God by trying to pay it on your own. It doesn't work that way. The price is just too high. He had to be anointed to pay that price for us, because the price of sin was too severe for us to do it. Our good works don't pay for the wrong we've done and the sin that we are in. Someone else has to pay that price, because it is an immense price. And Jesus was able to pay it because he is righteous. He is God. And he came to be the Son of Man and rule and reign where we could not. So, brothers and sisters, we must view Jesus rightly and embrace this. Hold on to this, because there is only one Jesus who can call people out of darkness and is the God of the Bible. If we devoid Jesus of his power, if we make him less than he is, he loses his power, because he was anointed to come to for a specific purpose. So as followers of Jesus, as the church, we embrace Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God. We embrace and we uphold what this book tells us about him. We also embrace the church. And many times it can be a debate whose church it is. Is Grandview Church, Covenant Church, my church? I don't think so. I happen to be pastor here, but it's not my church. Is it your church? You happen to be faithful members here, but it's not ultimately your church. It's ultimately Jesus Christ. It's ultimately Jesus' church. It's ultimately he who builds it. It's not me who ultimately builds a church. Like, we're going to be in so much trouble if I build this church and if I'm the builder of it. Not going to be good. The church is built upon the rock. Jesus says, after the Father has revealed to Peter who Jesus' identity is, because we have to get that right. Peter having the right identity says, the Lord says to him, and I tell you, you are Peter, and the Greek Petros means rock. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, Peter, you say I am the Christ and the anointed one to come for the salvation of the sins of the people. You say I'm anointed for this purpose. You've made this confession about me. Therefore, on this rock, upon you, I build my church. And Jesus, it's kind of a both and here. He is saying, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, but he's also not saying that he's going to build the church on Peter. That's kind of confusing there. Jesus isn't building it on the personality of Peter and Peter alone. It's still him who is the foundation. But you know what the Lord does? He uses broken and sinful people like you and me and builds the church upon that. And he uses Peter here. Not because he's so great or anything. Not that Peter is supposed to be worshipped as the cornerstone of the church. But then upon that confession that Peter makes, Jesus can build his church. Upon the church and a person that says, you are the Christ. I recognize what you've come to do. You are the anointed one. You are the Son of God. You are indeed God. And it's on this foundation that the church can be built upon. And it indeed must be built on this foundation if the church is to thrive and withstand pressure. It is indeed on this foundation that the church must be built if we are going to go out to a lost and hurting world. It is indeed on this foundation that we need to build if this place, this church, and indeed the church globally is going to survive and thrive. It has to be built on this. We must embrace the church of Jesus Christ because it is the only church that has the power to withstand the gates of hell. Do you know that, church? That if we are built on the rock and Jesus builds us, we can withstand the gates of Hades? Do you believe that? No matter how much darkness we encounter, no matter how much lostness we encounter, that the church prevails and actually grows? Do you believe that? Satan comes in and makes it difficult for us to believe that sometimes. Temptations to despair can be a real big thing. Jesus Christ makes the promise that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. The most evil thing we can encounter won't prevail against it. Other views of what the church is take the power away. If the church becomes about something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's no longer about the Bible, if it's about personal agendas, if it's about political agendas, whether it's about tolerance, whether if it's in our cultural moment it becomes compromising on biblical sexuality or things that we find in the Bible, compromising on things is detrimental, and the church loses its power. We must embrace the church of Jesus Christ as he builds it. Lastly, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, as the only message of salvation. And here's something pretty crazy. Verse 19, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this is a pretty controversial verse. I won't open the can of worms up on that too much, but it's a debate about the perfect tense in Greek. People say, is it shall be bound or shall have been bound? I'm not going to get into that too much. But here's what I do want to bring out of this. Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the key that allows people to enter the kingdom of heaven? It is only the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is only the message that Jesus Christ, God, came as a man to earth to dwell among us, to die a death which we could not die, and to be raised again for our justification by placing faith in him. We cannot compromise on this. And here's what happens in churches a lot. This is a strong message. This is a pointed message. It has power. And churches do things to take its power away. See, there's denominations, groups that have taken Jesus' power away. They have questioned the atonement and whether it would actually happen the way it did. Did Jesus really take the sin and wrath of God? Many churches can say and have said, no, it was just an example. Nothing really happened. He just died. Churches and movements today can compromise on the teachings of Jesus. And even though it's really against culture, there's denominations who have compromised on biblical sexuality, which is marriage between one man and one woman. I don't say this to be hateful, and I don't hate those people at all. I love them. But it's a compromise. Because as a church, we believe in this book and what it says. We don't go away from it. And oddly enough, it's these various denominations that have denied the power of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ that are failing and declining. Because it's no longer Jesus who builds the church, brothers and sisters. It's a radical claim. It's a controversial claim. It's a hard claim to make. And it's a claim that will be met with opposition. And we do it in love. We don't do it because we hate people. But we don't want to see people on the road to destruction. There's only one message that can help that and indeed save. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise on it. We cannot take that power away. These are the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's also that stone which many stumble over. If we go out with this message, people will stumble over it. People will get angry about it. People will label us as hateful or intolerant about it. But I'm not willing to back down because it is the message to save people from destruction. And I've experienced this for my own life. That as I was headed towards hopelessness and destruction, Jesus Christ came into my life. I believed in him, and he is now my righteousness and my right standing with Almighty God. Cannot compromise on this message. And indeed, the Church of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ meets opposition because the head of the kingdom of darkness is not happy about it. He does not want to see people called out of his kingdom into the light of Jesus Christ. That lady in that meeting did not want to see me called out of that meeting. They wanted me to stay in the toxicity of that. Jesus Christ wants different. He wants to save people. He wants to rebuild people. He wants to give people new hearts, new identities. And we cannot do this if we forsake the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a hard road ahead. It's a hard message to go out with. It can be discouraging. But for those brothers and sisters who are lost around us and headed towards destruction, it's the only message that saves. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do it. I cannot fabricate a message of salvation that gives meaning to people's lives. If I spend my time here trying to make my own message of what I think will bring meaning to people's lives, it will have been a waste of time. But going out with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a waste of time at all. Because it is the keys of the kingdom. It's the keys to be in a relationship with a good God. It's the keys to dwell forever with a good and holy God. It's our only hope as human beings. So we must embrace this gospel because it's the only message that can call people from darkness to light. And something interesting happens here. Jesus says all this, and then immediately opposition happens. Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and on the third day be raised. Jesus is saying, here's the things that must happen, guys. I must do these things. I must go and die death you could not die. I must be sacrificed. I must be crucified. I must go to the elders and chief priests and scribes and suffer torment that was supposed to be for you. And I'm supposed to be raised as well. And Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him. The text says begins to rebuke him because he doesn't finish rebuking. Peter says, and this was a strong way to say this in this language, but Peter says, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of the things of man are anything, any attempt to bring meaning to our lives in our own ways. Right? Whether it be skewing things in the Bible to fit our own lives, or whether it be politics, or whether it be moralism, whether it be materialism, or this or that, we're trying to find our way. Jesus says, put your mind on the things of God. Set your minds on things above. Set your minds on my gospel. I'm telling you, Peter, I have to do this. Set your mind on it. Set your mind on the things of God. Do not compromise and set your mind on the things of man. Do not do this. I've come for a purpose. And he says the same thing to us now. cannot set our minds on the things of man, but only on him who is above. So brothers and sisters, those called here out of darkness, to be the church in a difficult moment, and by the way, every moment in culture is difficult. This cultural moment's difficult just like other have been in the past. But you know what? The church thrives on it, and it can thrive in difficult moments if we just let Jesus be the builder. Isn't it something that the church actually thrives in the midst of opposition? Just think about all the church has endured over the last 2,000 years. Martyrs, people being killed for their faith, active opposition, whether it be verbal, emotional, or physical. It actually thrives when that happens. It doesn't push it back. People have been trying to kill the church and make it extinct. It only gets stronger. And that's the same here, brothers and sisters. That even in a difficult moment, we can embrace Jesus' plan for the church. That as we see people who are searching for life, we can trust that Jesus can use this church here. He can use all the churches in northwest Iowa here in Lyon County. He can use the churches over in South Dakota and beyond. He can use the church globally. He can use them to go with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people can truly be born again and remade. To be one called out of darkness, brothers and sisters, is to be one who embraces God's plan of salvation. For those who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, this is a call to embrace what has been set forth here. Even though it's not always the easy thing to do, even though it's not always the popular thing to do, we embrace it. Why? Because it's the only message that can save. It's the only message that can call us out from a toxic kingdom into a marvelous light. And as we go forward as this church, Grandview Covenant Church, I also call you, embrace Jesus' plan for the church. Embrace his gospel message. Embrace him as Jesus Christ. By him we embrace God and are embraced by God. And for those either here or listening and are confused by what I mean when I say called out of darkness into his marvelous light, if you have not experienced that, I think if you can be really honest and look around, things are pretty dark. The situation you're in now is pretty dark and gloom and glim. And Jesus Christ here has an invitation to call you out of a destructive kingdom who has a destructive and tyrannical leader. You don't have to be under his care. Jesus Christ wants to call you out. And you are called out by faith. It's not of works, but of faith in him. Brothers and sisters, as we go in this place, embrace these things. And indeed, Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ will embrace you throughout this week, keep you, guide you, grow you. Amen.